Hey there.
Guys, hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great.
Awesome. I'll get on the video call too. There we go.
Cool, man. How's it going today?
Not bad. Just taking a lunch break at work. It's a pretty easy day today, so.
Well, that's good. Easy days are better than busy days, I guess.
That's right.
Man, thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. What's the
Yeah, thanks for thanks for inviting me.
You start her up?
Yeah, we're good.
So, we'll get right into it. I'm Jer. This is my brother Ernie.
What was his Jeremy and
Jeremy and Ernie.
Ernie, all right.
Yeah.
Ernie, I love your singing of Lady in Red on TikTok. It was so romantic.
Perfect. I've been trying my best to come up with another one. I have an idea. It's just a matter of finding some time to do it. My daughter's not allowing me to use her little karaoke machine, so I got to work with her.
Is that your first? I think that's his first like compliment on it. Isn't that like from someone
it
else?
Was.
But anyway, Dave. So your YouTube channel is Freaktography, and I've been a fan for a couple years now, just always watching your stuff, and I kind of got into your stuff because I've always been a big fan of watching like scary stuff, but also I'm interested in like, and I think you did a video in our hometown of Preston in Cambridge.
Yes, I did.
You went to the Springs, and I started watching that video because I think I was trying to figure out who had done it, and if like I was so that's how I got onto your channel, which was how long ago was that? Did you come to Cambridge?
I think that was. Probably 2 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, it was. I know it was before COVID. It was probably 2019 that I did that.
Yeah. Well, you won't be coming back now because they bulldozed that thing down.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, they bulldozed it down. And just so people know who are listening, so your whole thing is like urban explorer. You're a photographer as well. And I just kind of want to start from the beginning. So your channel is filled with like these like amazing buildings that you find in these cool places, and also waterfalls as well. I saw another post, but how did you kind of get into doing this, and why is this your thing?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story. I think I've always had to have something that keeps me busy my whole life. Whether it's I used to be into bodybuilding, and like a gym nut, right? So I did a few bodybuilding competitions, and then I got out of that and I got into collecting stuff, and I got into collecting things like Kiss memorabilia. I had a whole room in my basement of my house full of Kiss toys and memorabilia. Then I sold that stuff and I bought a motorcycle. Then I had the motorcycle for a few years, and then I had nothing to do with my time. And it was my birthday in 2012, and I was out with some friends at a restaurant, and I had this buddy tell me about this abandoned haunted house in Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario. And everybody's been to Niagara-on-the-Lake, and you know it's a beautiful town, right? The houses are really nice, beautiful lawns. Well, there's this one street across the street from a cemetery that's got one abandoned house on the corner, and it's been like that for decades. It's called the Breckenridge Ewer House. And the story goes that the person who lived in this house years and years and years ago kept having these weird paranormal experiences in the house.
Whoa.
And finally he came home one night and something happened that he had it. He packed his family, he packed his stuff, and they left. And no one has ever lived in the house since.
Mm.
And people have attempted to buy the house and renovate it, and they would just give up because weird can I swear?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Yep. Go ahead.
Weird shit keeps happening in this house. And so this story got me interested. So I went home, and the next day I started researching this house. I just wanted to know about it.
Yeah.
And while I'm looking it up, I start finding all these people that break into abandoned buildings and post the pictures online. And I'm like, this is pretty cool. And at the time, I was not a photographer. Mm. I was just a guy with nothing to do with my time, but I had a really nice Nikon camera that I didn't know how to use. So I went out to the back roads of Milton and Burlington and Oakville and wherever else, just looking for abandoned houses, because this was a really cool idea. I had done this stuff as a kid, going into abandoned buildings and sneaking around in storm drains, going up on roofs of buildings, but I didn't know it had a name, right? So it was this haunted house in Niagara-on-the-Lake that got me interested. the research into this house led me to realize that there's this whole community of people that I wanted to be a part of, because we had a shared interest in weird, creepy shit. And I would have to say, and I've said this before, that I feel like my interest and my love for weird, creepy shit goes all the way back to Michael Jackson Thriller.
Wow.
When I was a kid, 1984, the album Thriller came out and the video came out, and there's the part where he goes into this abandoned house to get the girl and chase her. And I always loved that house. And for whatever reason, that stuck with me. And I mean, it could go as far back as that, but what got me into the hobby was hearing about this house, doing some internet research, and realizing that there's all these people that share an interest in this stuff just like I do.
Man. That's crazy. We share the same thing, because when I saw that movie, music video, it also sparked me to never go into buildings like that ever again. I'm like, hey, there's something I shall never do in my life.
Yeah, we don't. I don't like scary stuff either. But like once in a while, I'll watch something just to get scared.
Don't like heights. Don't like the dark. Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
The funny thing about that is my. The very first abandoned house I went into. So here I am. I've got this camera. I have no idea what I'm doing, okay? And I live in Burlington, so not far from you guys. And I'm driving up Tremaine Road towards Milton, and there's a couple abandoned houses on Tremaine Road that everybody knows. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know a couple houses. I'm going to go. So the first one I go into, I park my car right in the driveway, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to park up the street so that nobody knows that you're there. Oh. I park my car right in the driveway. I go into the house. My heart is pounding. Okay.
I bet.
Pounding. And I poke my head in the house and I sort of yell out if anybody's in there, and nobody answers me back. So I go in and I tiptoe. I'm sweating. I'm nervous. I'm in the house for like 5 minutes and I go upstairs. Don't I hear something running through the house?
Huh?
It sounds like a dog. And I froze. Every hair on my body stood up.
Oh.
And I thought it was the owner of the property sending in a dog after me. And then I hear a door open and slam shut. And I'm upstairs. I froze.
Oh, my gosh.
It turns out it was a raccoon.
Oh, okay. How did he open the door?
Yeah, he just used his head. He ran right into the door
to get himself out
because I scared the shit out of the raccoon. Well, that raccoon scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, but like, joke's on you. I just peed all over the floor.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So that was like one of your first, like, the first house in Niagara Falls was like kind of how you started, right?
Yeah.
So how is it that you find these places? Do people like tell you about them, or do you literally just like drive around?
Well, when I first started, it was just me.
Right.
I didn't know anybody. And it was all at the time. It was like, okay, well, here's these websites where I can go post my stuff. And this is a great way for me to meet people. So I went out on my own. And that's really how you get into the hobby and get accepted, is by going out and finding your own stuff.
Mm.
Now, whether somebody had already found it before you, that doesn't matter. If it's new to you, then it's new to you. So I spent a lot of time getting out and driving around and finding spots on your own. And that's where I started. Again, Milton, Burlington, Oakville, back roads, finding old barns and farmhouses and stuff. And then, you know, then you start posting pictures and you get the attention of other people who do it.
Right.
Who are like, oh, wow, this guy's got some good stuff. Then you become friends and then you share.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have to start by yourself. Too many people come into it now and they're like looking for handouts and want freebies. The way to get ahead in this hobby is to start out on your own, post your own stuff, and then meet people and share and swap. Right. And then from there, it just takes off. Like, I have a map full of locations that I haven't been to yet from my own finds over the years, or, you know, followers will send me a tip or friends will send me a location. And now it's like I no longer have to worry that I can't go out for a day and I'm not going to find anything, because I have so many spots on my map that I can pick a geographic area of Ontario and I know I got lots to check out when I'm there. So,
man. So I gotta ask. We're in spooky season, and I'm glad. Like, not that I planned you coming on. I'm like, he's gonna have some good spooky stories. But what is like? So, give me a couple of stories, just like some spooky stuff. I wanted to know: have you ever run into somebody actually being in one of the homes, like a homeless person?
I've got I got a lot of stories. I'll try and pick my best. I'll start with homeless. Then I'll then I'll go to druggies.
Okay.
And then I'll go to ghosts.
Okay? And spare no expense. We want your
in
time.
In that order, though,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. And, and don't skip anything. We're here. We want to hear your stories, and we really appreciate your time. So.
All right.
Yeah, we're so good. We got the lights turned all the way on. We even have an extra light over there for some strange reason, just in case.
So the first time I had a homeless run-in wasn't even so much of a run-in. It was more of they were hiding from me. So I went to this house. It was in Mississauga or Etobicoke. It's not there anymore. But I had gone in, slipped in through a side window, and the house was really cool. Had a piano, a lot of really cool furniture inside. And I always call out, almost always, you know, because I know that there's squatters, homeless, druggies, whatever. And you never know. It might even be somebody's house. Some of these houses I go into are so run down, and people still live in it.
No.
It's absolutely... Yeah, it's happened. But anyway, so I always call out first to see if anybody's there. Nobody answered. So I made my way inside. Excuse me, one second.
Yeah, have a drink of water.
See, I'd be so worried I break in and like some, like you say, people living in it. Some homeless guy, he's in a robe, like a silk robe. He's like, can I help you?
Yeah. Good evening.
So I make my way inside and nobody had answered. So I'm taking pictures and going about my business. And all of a sudden I hear footsteps upstairs. And then I hear a door close. Oh. And I stop and I call, hello. Nobody answered. And I said, listen, I heard you. I know you're here. I'm not here to bother you. I'm just here to take pictures. I'm not supposed to be here either. No answer. So I go upstairs. And there's nobody there.
Oh my God.
But in a bedroom, there's one of these old, like, lounge chairs that are made of that rubber band material that your mom or your grandma had.
Yep.
Right? So there's one of those. There's receipts all over the floor. There's clothes on the floor. It smells like cigarette smoke. And then I see the closet door. And that's the door. Every other door upstairs is open except for this one closet door.
Oh my God.
So there's a homeless person hiding behind that door. So My first thought was to set up my camera and my remote control and open the door.
What did he jump
through? The day not to come in with an air horn.
Yeah.
But I decide, okay, I'm in this person's home. I'm going to leave him alone, him or her. But so I left them alone and I stayed for probably another hour. I made this person hide in the closet for an hour because, listen, I made my presence known. Yeah. I made it known that I'm of no harm. I'm just here to take some pictures. You can do your thing. I'll do mine. Let's have a conversation with each other, you know?
Yeah.
No, this person decided to stay in the closet for an hour.
Wow.
And never came out. So
I'd have been standing out front making animal noises.
Yeah.
Jeremy makes a good bear.
I've never had a bad run-in with a squatter, a scrapper, or a homeless person. Anytime I've run into somebody, it's always been friendly. You go your way, I'll go mine. I was once in an old factory in London, and me and some friends of are walking around doing our thing, and all of a sudden these two tweakers come in, and they're all skinny, and you know what meth heads and heroin addicts look like, and they're carrying their gear, their hair. I think, what do they call it? There's a word that they use.
Stolen stuff?
Yeah. Basically, they're, their needles and all their shit.
Yeah, the gear. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So we all kind of cross paths, and we just shoot the breeze and say hi, and I realize immediately what they're up to and what they're trying to do, and I tell them what we're going to do. So after we talk for a couple minutes, I just say, okay, tell you what, I'm going to leave you guys alone. You guys go this way. We're going to go this way so that we don't bother you when you're doing it, whatever it is that you're going to do over there. Again, I've never had a bad experience. People talk to me about they're afraid of squatters. They're afraid of scrappers. They're afraid of homeless people. I don't know. I've never had a bad run-in, and let's hope it stays that way. But yeah. maybe there's a, I don't know, it's a level of confidence that I have. Maybe not. Maybe I've just been lucky, but I've never had a bad run-in with anyone. So now I'll move on to the ghost now.
Okay.
So we've covered homeless. We've covered druggies.
And animals, don't forget.
And animals, yeah. So there's a house that's, I don't know, it's somewhere between London and Sarnia, a town called Belgrave. Really nice old stone house. And it's got a gorgeous wooden staircase inside. Just beautiful. And so I had gone there to check out this house for my second or third time. And what I like to do at first, before I was doing YouTube, I would sort of walk through and like do a video walkthrough.
Yeah.
Of, you know, just to have video documentation of this house. I wasn't talking, I was just walking through. So I walk through the house doing my thing, and then I go up the stairs. And I'm probably up 10 steps, and I realize that these stairs are actually collapsing. And if I step on one of these stairs, I'm going to fall through the floor. I turn around. As I'm turning around, I didn't see this in real time. Somebody saw it on Facebook after, but something blows by the camera, like a mist or a dust, and it makes a noise. Again, I didn't see it happen in real time. I get home, I post a short video to Facebook, and somebody says, "What the hell happened at 1:23?" Oh. And I went back and looked, and I'm like, "Holy shit, something happened!" And now there was no wind in the house because the upstairs windows were covered with plastic sheets. Mm. All right, so there was no wind. It wasn't a bird. I don't know what it was. And people are like, "It's dust." And my answer to that is, how often does dust make that noise? And if you go on my YouTube channel and you look up Freaktography Ghost, you'll see the video. Mm. And sure, it's like a mist or a dust that flies across the camera, makes a weird noise, and it only happens once, and that's it. But I don't know how to explain it. And it's the only time I've ever seen or captured anything that I can't actually explain.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you get that a lot when people watch a video? They're like, "Hey, did you notice this?" Or, "Hey, did you see this?" And you're just like, you go back, you're like, "Whoa, I didn't even see that."
Well, I mean, see, I don't really believe in the haunted and paranormal stuff.
Okay.
And I'll answer that in a minute. And the reason I say this is because I've been in rooms where people have committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I've been in houses where murders have happened. I've been in morgues. I've been in psychiatric hospitals where there are so many, you know, murders, suicides, death. I mean, I've been in some pretty bad places where some bad shit has happened, and nothing has ever happened, ever, ever, ever.
Wow.
I've never felt anything. I've never seen anything. So I'll post my stuff online, and people will say, "I see a face in a window." I don't know, but I feel like people are kind of hardwired to see faces and things, yeah. Right? And then I look, and I'm like, I'm not seeing it, you know? But a lot of people do say that they've seen stuff in my videos and in my pictures, but I just don't see it. So
that kind of gives you like a reassurance. Like when you do go to a creepy spot, you've been to the creepiest of the creepy. So yeah. What is your opinion then? Not to get off track, but like of the people that go to these places and they're like, "Hey, did you hear that? Like, did you see that?" You think it's a little dramatized or like,
well, you know what? I have a lot of friends that do that, and I love the guys, and I'll never bash anyone.
I just want to know your opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never bash anyone for their creative methods and what they do. And maybe it's real. Like my friend Angelo, Exploring with Angelo, mm-hmm. He swears by it. You know, he's like, "I know people don't believe it, but this shit is true." Mm. Exploring with Josh, same thing. He didn't really believe in it. And then he experienced something at a location he was at, and it turned him into a believer. At the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Right.
And I was at a house in London with Mo Sargi and Angelo and my friend Carlo Pelosa. And Mo and Angelo had one of those, I forget what they're called, EV readers or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I mean, it was, they were trying to talk to the guy who used to live there is dead. And he was like, he was a Nazi.
Oh.
And yeah, and they were trying to talk to him through this thing. And words were coming through this thing that were sort of legible. And you know, again, I'm a skeptic, so I have a hard time believing it, but I'll never bash somebody who believes it.
Right.
You know, and Because at the end of the day, again, we're going a bit off topic here, but, you know, of the billions and billions of people in the world who have lived, and the billions and billions of people who have lived and have not experienced anything, myself included, I don't know. There's got to be something out there.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not going to bash it, and I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to say it doesn't happen because it's not happened to me or I don't believe it, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
You know? And my friend Mo Sargi, he's got millions of subscribers on his YouTube channel. He does very, very well off of the entertainment of ghosts and haunted experiences. And whether they're real or not, I'm not one to say, but hey, it's working for him.
Yeah.
You know?
So I know with all these groups now that, I didn't realize until I watched your video that there's like, this is like a thing that a bunch of people do, these urban explorers. So is there certain rules that you guys have, like unwritten rules that you guys have to follow? Like specifically, like if you go into a house, like that one video where you found like a bunch of money and like a couple guns and stuff when you went into it, like, is there rules like you have to leave it where it lies or is there anything like that?
Well, it's funny because I always say, you can't tell people who break rules to follow rules, right?
Yeah.
Like we're literally breaking the law for entertainment and for the passion of exploring. We're breaking laws. We're breaking rules. So don't put your rules on me because I don't follow sets of rules. That's me as a person. But that said, yes, there are unwritten rules such as don't steal, right? Don't break in. Don't force entry. Some people completely disagree with even moving stuff.
Oh.
You know, like if I'm at a house and I look in a closet, I was in a house once and I found an Easy Bake oven from the 1980s. I found a Light Bright from the 1980s, old toys and games from the 1980s stuffed up in a closet. You can't take a picture of stuffed up in a closet.
Yeah.
Right. So I take it down. Set it up. Well, look what I found. Take a picture of it. Put it back where I found it. That's typically what I do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like that. Yeah. They think that you should just leave things as they, I mean, there's rules. There's people that follow them to the letter. There's people that don't. I mean, at the end of the day, again, they're unwritten rules, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing with me is, and my answer has always been the same, I'm okay if I get caught and I get a trespassing fine. Mm-hmm. It's a $65 fine. It's like getting a speeding ticket, basically. But if I get caught walking out with a $3,000 typewriter that I found, that's a much bigger charge.
Right.
Right. And I mean, first of all, I have no room for this in my house. Right. Second of all, there's always bad juju that follows this stuff. They say.
Yeah.
But it's not mine to take. And if I'm in an abandoned house, nothing is truly abandoned. Everything is owned by somebody, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody might one day come to that house to claim their probably not, but sometimes they might. And I would hate it if I had a house full of stuff and somebody came in and stole my you know? So I don't take things. The thing with the money was, that's karma. You know, my friend, when that happened, it was 2013, and my friend, we'll call him Bruce, he was the one who gave me the house to go explore.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I found the money, my first thought was, I'm not taking this. You know, like, I've got a wife, I've got a daughter, you know, like, if anything ever happened to one of them, I would blame karma.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And plus, if I can't be caught walking out of a house with a bag full of cash.
Yeah.
I can't. And he said, Bruce said the same thing. I've got a wife and I've got several boys. And if anything ever happened to them, I would blame this. We both agreed that we can't take this money. So that's where we decided. He had already done a little bit of research and found who owns the house. Mm-hmm. And so we worked together to contact them and find them. And that has honestly, that story for me has paid off in multiple ways.
Wow.
You know, through my own karma, through storytelling, through, you know, I'm so glad that I didn't take that money. And I actually didn't tell anybody about it for a whole year.
Yeah.
It happened. I told a few friends And I held on to that story until the time was right. And I actually waited 1 year. And the day I decided to tell the story was there was a really bad news day. And I think it was 2014 or 2015 in January. Lots of bad news. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm sick of this bad news. I'm going to put a good news story out there. And I wrote it on my website on a blog post, posted it to Reddit. And then next thing you know, it just blew up and it got picked up by so many different outlets. And I mean, I love that story. I love telling it. And it's probably one of the key defining moments for me in, like, you know, my early days of exploring, having found this money and doing the right thing with it. It was pretty awesome.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Check on my melody.
Hey, Jer.
Yo.
When you think summer, what do you think?
Me, personally, I'm not a beach guy. I'm a guy who drives someplace to go drink cold suds.
Well, not me.
No?
I like me some beer.
That's what I meant.
Suds isn't beer.
No, no, no.
It's like soda.
No. It's like from that movie where the guy, he's in jail, but he didn't kill his wife. And then he's like, there's nothing makes you feel more like a man like working with some guys and drinking some cold suds. Remember he's on the roof?
Well,
anyway.
Enough of that bullshit. Anyway. So, our first sponsor is the lovely people down at Wave Maker Brewery at 639 in Laurel Street in Cambridge. And they are brewing up some fancy little stuff. They've got everything from lagers to pale ale to double IPAs to sour. Everything they make is just a hitter. So you have to jump on their Instagram and check out what they have going live for you right now. It's going fast, so make sure you get down there right away. Their patio also is open.
Yep.
But yeah, anything that you're fancying, they pretty much got you covered. Just head on down there and... you got to go into the bottle shop, I think, and see
craft
what they've got
beer
live.
Wise, they hit everything out of the park. Those two guys down there, Scott and Matt, they're creative geniuses, and they make delicious beer, and they're classy, and it's super nice. I love their patio.
And also, if you need something to pour it in, they got a merch shop with glassware.
Yeah.
And if it's starting to get into that season where we might need toques.
Ooh, I do like a nice toque.
Nice toque. Nice hat.
No, it's a toque. We do toque up here in Canada.
Do the toque. Yeah, head on down to Wavemaker, get yourself some good beer, and definitely get off your ass.
Fill your glass.
Your glass with Wavemaker beer.
Yeah, that's nice. So, anyone who's out there who is a wife to a guy who has a beard or a husband to a guy who has a beard, beards are rad, and there's this company that we've been partnering with since the beginning of time.
What if you're single and you have a beard?
If you have a beard, I don't care if you're not with anybody, but even anybody who has a beard, this product company, Always Bearded Lifestyle, hits everything out of the park. First thing, they're Canadian. Second thing, every single thing that they make, every single thing is CertClean certified with all natural ingredients. No hippity-hoppity, bibbity-boppity, hocus-pocus, none of this weird mumbo-bumbo-jambo, like no weird stuff, like nothing. It's all clean and it's beautiful.
You hate when you put something on, you're like, what the f- is in this thing?
It's tar. It's something gross. They want you to hydrate, and they want you to soften, and they want you to repair your beard, and they have the product. They have the oil, they have the wax, and the godsend beard cream. Beard cream, what it is basically like a leave-in conditioner, and you know when you scratch your beard and then you get a little bit of those beard flakes? You put the beard cream in, guess what? No more flakes, bro. It's gone.
You ever go to Tim Hortons and they give you a free coffee?
No.
Father of love. It's like that.
I guess so, but not. Also, we all know what's going on right now. And beard, hat, hair, with the masks, because of the COVID,
the fucking pandy.
It sucks. Oh, the pandy ruining the beards. Always Bearded has you caught up. Always Bearded is taking care of you with the Beard Tart version 2 and the new Beard Bandana, which I use every single day. I love the bandana.
I love it too.
The paisley design, they got the red, they got the blue, they got the black, they got the red and the black. It's just beautiful. They're going to take care of you from start to finish, right out of the shower with the beard product, right out the door with the beard tarps. They take care of you. So, if just a little bit of update with the beard tarp stuff, just so you know, they do have, it's triple layered. with an N95 equivalent filter. So we're keeping up those the weird pandy fun friends that want to make you sick. It's keeping you safe.
And even then, bandana has a nose bridge too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I check it out, guys.
It's so nice.
It's very nice. So you can get 15% off with our code PMNA. PMNA. Guys, Christmas is coming up. All that beard stuff is great for using in the stocking. Anybody who has a person they love or just love yourself.
A person they hate and they still want to get it for them.
Yeah. Go down to Always Bearded. They'll take care of you. And don't forget to use our code, guys.
What was that promo code again?
PMNA. We love you.
So when you post your videos, have you ever once had it where the authorities are like, listen, we clearly can tell that you were there. We don't want to see you go back. Have you ever had that before, like through your social media?
So many times. Oh. Yes. Yeah. So last year was the worst.
Oh,
geez. I've been doing this for 10 years. And as soon as COVID hit and people were home with nothing better to do.
Oh, no.
I started getting contacts from property owners, or somebody recognizes this location and they tell the property owners. I had more takedown requests last year in a course of 6 months than I have had in 10 years. The worst. It was the worst. But the funny thing was there's a place in Stratford. It's an old train repair factory. And a lot of people know about it. And I was in Stratford and I'm like, I'll go check out. I forget what it's called, but I'll go check out this factory. So I walk around the perimeter as I do, and I find a big hole in the fence, and the main gate to get into the factory had been cut open. So I'm like, wow, I didn't think it was going to be this easy. I go inside, I take a few pictures, come home, I put them on Facebook, and I share them to this group. I typically share my stuff to groups of people that are interested on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Don't I get a visit by the Halton Regional Police?
No.
To my house.
No.
And they're like, the Stratford Police want to talk to you. Here's the number. And I'm like, what? So I call this number, and it's a detective in Stratford. And she says, we understand that you broke into the train factory, and we need to talk to you.
Oh, my.
I said, can we do this over the phone? Stratford's like 3 hours away. She says, no, I'd like you to come in.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, for Christ's sakes.
Jeez. So,
but I'm confident, like, I didn't break in. I didn't force my way in. I literally walked into the place. Now, I know by law that it's still breaking and entering. Just walking through an open door is still considered B&E.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's your intention, right? Mm-hmm. It's what you intend to do when you're there. So anyways, I go to Stratford. I meet with this detective, and she says, so we understand, you know, you're probably looking at trespassing, breaking and entering, and mischief. And I'm like, wait a second.
Serious?
She says, well, we know you broke the log. I said, no, I did not break the log. I said, the fence was already cut. The lock to get into the main gate was open. If I had walked the entire perimeter and couldn't get in, I would have went home. That's just what I do. That's the way I do things. So she believed me. And she basically said, okay, well, here's the way it works. You know, I can't give you a trespassing fine. So I'm basically going to tell you, you have to stay away from that property for the next 5 years.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right. And I apologized. And, you know, there was a bunch of some, basically it looked like some skaters had done it. There was a skate park built inside.
Oh.
And so some skaters had cut their way in, forced their way through. I'm not going to cut a lock, you know, like I'm not going to carry bolt cutters with me. It's just ridiculous. I don't need to see any place that bad, you know. But yes, I've had several times where I'm contacted by somebody, and my website and my Facebook page both say, if I have explored your property and you would like it removed, just message me. And I'm completely transparent with that. And it's as a result of that I often will get messages from police or property owners saying, I saw the disclaimer on your website, very respectful. The property owners have asked that you please take the video down and not return. Okay, I'll take it down.
It kind of doesn't make any sense. Like, to me, this is maybe I'm reaching on this one. To me, it's kind of like an art form where I'm watching your video and I'm appreciating the time you're taking and the way you describe things. So let's say I owned a building I'm going to ask you this question later about, like, why do you think this happens a lot? But if I had a building and something happened, I don't know the situation, you go in and you're taking photos, and you're like, this is so cool. Like, why is that a bad thing? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you – and you're also, like, proving that you did it. So it's like you're hiding the fact that you broke – like, supposedly broke in. That makes no sense.
Yeah, so I have had a few occasions where someone has contacted me and said, hey, I got this great rundown property if you want to come by and check it out.
That's amazing.
You know, I just posted this week the Rockcliffe Tavern in Minden, Ontario. It's been closed for 6 years. It's been falling apart for 6 years. Some guys just bought it, and they had seen my stuff in the past, and they said, hey, we have this old rundown bar and tavern. Do you want to come do a documentary on it? So I'm like, fuck yeah, all right. Awesome. So I did that. There was a actually there's a place near you guys. What the hell is it called? It's an old school in Cambridge. I forget what it's called right now, but there's a really old school in Galt, and the guy who bought it is turning it.
You're not talking about GCI, are you?
No. You know what? Give me a second.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you guys.
See, like when you had to go to the station there to go talk to the police about the man, no, just knowing that you knew you weren't in the wrong, I'd have been full of train puns the entire time. Like, guys, this is really going this is going off the rails.
How did you choose
me? Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had that. Dixon Public School.
Okay, I know where that is.
Yeah, why did you choose me?
So it's closed? Dixon's closed?
Yeah, Dixon closed. It's 146 years old. And it closed, I think, in 2014, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Is that in behind the arena there?
It's not from the
couldn't area. Tell you. Oh, I couldn't really tell you where it is.
Sorry.
Interesting.
So the guy who bought it, he contacted me. And he's like, hey, I got this old school, and I'm going to turn it into apartments. And you want to come and see it and film it before I tear it down. He's not tearing the building down because it's got heritage status.
Yeah.
But he has invited me to come and film it before he changes it, and then he's going to invite me back when he rebuilds it.
Man,
well, if you'd like some company and it's during the day,
yeah, that'd be hilarious.
We can come and make our stupid comments.
No, he doesn't want us hanging out. We're just silly. I was going to ask you, so because you interact with all these homes,
yeah,
what doesn't make sense to me all the time is I'd like there's a home, and it's like I think you describe it in a way where it's almost like it's like a where stuff is still there and it hasn't been moved. What's the word you use? Where it's like a timepiece or something, or it's like a
time capsule.
Time capsule. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Like, what is the situation with people that they have this home and then they completely abandon it and they leave everything? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, there's a number of different explanations for that. One being that there's just nobody left. There's no family left to pick it up, right? Another being family might live too far away. You know, family lives 5 hours away. They live in overseas. There was one instance where there was this house in Gray County, 2013, and it was like the picture perfect time capsule. Literally everything left, and so much decay had happened that everything was covered in dust, peeling paint, raccoon everywhere, and what actually ended up happening was the lady was very religious, and one of her friends from church had fallen very sick. So she left her house, moved in with her friend to take care of this person, stayed there, and gave this person her 100% time and efforts to help this person get better. Then the person dies. She goes back to her house and is completely fallen apart. And I mean, that was really strange to me because it looked like the house had been empty for like 15 years or abandoned for like 15 years. And anyway, she moved back into the house, completely renovated it, fixed the holes in the roof, fixed the floor. And now it's a beautiful house once again. But that was just a case of her leaving her house to help take care of a friend.
Yeah, like who was going to let the raccoons out to go to the bathroom?
God, who's going to be there?
I tell you.
Man,
people.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's also a lot of times it might be for legal purposes, you know, a family member has died and the surviving family members are now fighting over the estate and they're not allowed to enter the house.
Oh.
you know, legally, and that's probably a case as well in some of these places.
Yeah.
What's the coolest thing you've come across in these houses? Like, I know you probably didn't take it.
Yeah. the Star Wars house was cool. There was a house in Toronto. It was a mansion in Toronto. And I believe the owner must have had like an eBay shop or something, because the house was packed with original Star Wars toys. Like, okay. I'm talking the expensive shit. It had the original action figures, you know, the games, the everything, all the way up to like the 90s stuff, you know. And the house was a mess. There was a pile of mail at the front door, probably 3 feet high, of just mail that had just been dropped in the mail slot over the years. That was pretty crazy. Obviously, the money was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I found some guns. I found a lot of toys, like pop culture stuff, records that are worth a lot of money, old toys from the 70s and 80s, board games. Like, those are my favorites. When you walk into a house and it's like all the toys from the 80s are still there, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, man. I'm always so baffled. Like, I always see like the comments when people are always like, I'm not going to get into it, but you get a lot of hate sometimes from people. And I love how you roll with it. You're like, you post it as like an inspirational post. I think that's hilarious. I'm not sure if you know this. So he gets a lot of like bad comments. What he does is he takes the comment and then he posts it in like a kind of like an inspirational quote kind of thing. Yeah. It's just absolutely hilarious. I like how you roll.
That was my wife's idea. I can't take credit for that. She's like, she sees the hateful comments that I get, and she feels so bad for me. And I'm like, it doesn't faze me. I don't know these people.
Yeah.
And even if it's coming from somebody I know, I don't give a you know? And if the best part is the hateful messages that are always full of spelling mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? They never know how to spell. They never know proper grammar. If you're that hateful in your life, that you need to send me comments and messages like that, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
That's your problem. And I'm going to have fun with it because it doesn't faze me. And there's even like, never mind the people that I don't even know that send me hateful messages. There's even people that I know who don't like me. You can't faze me. I already know the things I do that make you mad.
Yeah.
You know, I already know. I already know that I sometimes have my articles in the media.
Yeah.
I already know that I'm not the best photographer and my videos aren't that good. I know. You know, you can't tell me that my videos are shit because I already know that they're not very good because I taught myself. I didn't go to school for this. Mm-hmm. I'm not a trained photographer. I picked this up as a hobby.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning as I go. You can disrespect me and throw shade at my pictures, at my style. It's not something that I don't already know. So you know what? I'm going to have fun with it. You want to throw shade at me? I'm going to make an inspirational post out of it. And I'm going to show everybody what you have to say about me, because there's not something you can say to me that I don't already know.
Yeah. As a fan, I think that's hilarious because I don't get it. It's just like, I appreciate the, like, it's, for me, it's kind of like, I'll be honest, like when I'm hanging out watching your videos, like I got a day off, I'm drinking coffee, and I'm like, you know what, I want to check and see what he's like. You went to that giant mansion that didn't get fully developed. That was amazing. Like to go and see that and to interact with that, and like in HD, like the quality, I'm just like, I'm so immersed. I'm just like, oh man, that is so amazing. Like the amount of money that guy spent on that place.
Yeah, the funny thing about that house is you talk about getting contacted by homeowners and property owners. So many people have been to this house before me.
Yeah.
And after me. So many people. So I'm like, I'm going to go check it out too. And it's not an easy house to get to. It's far. Mm. And so I went all the way out to this place and I did my video and held on to it for a bit. And then I posted it. And sure enough, a couple months later, I get contacted by this guy who represents the people who own the property. Mm. And he's like, you know, I don't want to have to call the police. I'm getting tired of people breaking into the house. Can you please take your video down, take your photos down? I don't want more people to go there and break in.
Hmm.
I went back and forth with the guy, and finally I said, okay, sure. So, and at the time, this video was doing very, very, very well for me.
Yeah.
And it was a hard video to take down. Ooh. Because, you know, anyways, I took it down. as I always said I would. And so I did. And it's down and I go about my business. And then I start seeing so many people posting this house.
Yeah.
All winter, summer, fall, spring, morning, day, night. Hundreds of people. People walking their dogs through the house. People spending the night in the house. And I'm like, okay, if this guy is so dead set on people not going in, he's not doing a very good job at stopping people from going in. So I put my back up and I went back. I went back to see it again. Because, yeah. And I'm sorry to this guy, but if you're going to come at me and threaten to send the police after me for going into this wide open abandoned mansion, do a better job at sealing it.
Yeah. Have you watched that video, Ernie?
I have not yet.
I'm going to send it to you. It's amazing. It's so cool. It blows your mind to think what the amount of money this guy spent on this place and how he like walked away because he just got bankrupt, right?
Like his he went bankrupt. It was like $25 million, and it was very close to being done. And I got to tell you, walking through this house, the one thing that struck me the most is how bad I felt for the guys who put the work in.
Yeah.
Like the brickwork and the work that these guys put into spending days and days and hours building this house for nothing. And they probably didn't even get fully paid for it. You know?
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. I didn't even think places like that even existed in Canada. I'll show it to you later.
Because it sounded like that was the springs, right? Like it was just turning into such a money pit that they eventually just said, like, screw it, we can't do anything.
No, it was his business. The man's primary business was a new form of like plywood, basically, like a particle board. Something happened in the construction industry with this. I don't have the whole story off the top of my head, but something happened with this material in the construction industry. And he ended up having to bankrupt the business and shut down. And then he had to abandon the project of the house he was building. The house was going to be his showroom, his office, and his house.
Yeah.
We never know. So, maybe he just got bored.
Terrible. Oh, my God. Yeah. Get bored. Oh, geez. Get out of here. We were talking before how sometimes you said you go to certain places and they look abandoned, but there's actually somebody still living there. Have you ever walked up on a house and you're like, wow, this looks run down, overgrown, and then you go in the door and then all of a sudden there's just like somebody like sitting there like just like enjoying their day?
I've never walked in on someone. Okay. I know people who have.
Oh, geez.
But there's been a few times where, you know, we'd be out with a group of friends and we find a house completely run down, overgrown. We park in the driveway just to walk around and look first. And if the house is abandoned, then we'll park up the street and we'll go in. Mm-hmm. So I'm around the back of this one house. And then I look back at the car and my buddies are waving at me to come back, come back. Well, the lady that lived in the house came out the front door.
Oh.
Then there's a house in Queenston, and it's this dump of a house, okay? Like completely overgrown, old rusted cars, falling all over the place. The back, like the antenna has fallen off the roof. So we're like, okay, this looks pretty abandoned. So we park our car up the street, we come around the back, look in the back window, there's some guy watching CNN on his flat screen TV inside.
Oh my. Imagine.
So.
Shabby chic.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to really watch, you know, like you really have to like, and that's one of the things with like, I used to go to New York State quite often. My parents had a cottage in the States, and I would drive by a house that this place has to be abandoned. Nope. Full on mom, dad, three kids, dog living inside, broken windows upstairs, hole in the roof. I mean, it's sad. It's very sad, but you just never know. You have to be careful. And be sure before you go making your way in.
Imagine how you feel like you're like, all of a sudden these urban explorers come up to your house and think it's like an abandoned, like haunted place. You're like, it makes it on like the show. Like, hey, that's my house. Like, it's like you live in a dump and like, how bad is your house? Like, how does that like make you look like, man?
Yeah, exactly.
My house is that much of a dump.
This is our version of MTB Cribs. Can we see what's in the fridge?
That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh man. So obviously Is this like your full-time gig? Like just hanging out doing this stuff?
No. No, I work in marketing. Okay. I've been working in marketing and advertising for 20 years. When I started this, again, it was just a hobby. I needed something to do. Never imagined it would turn into where it's going for me. And I mean, and you know, I talk about people taking, you know, taking shots at me and throwing shade at me for making money off of this hobby. My question to the, you know, my question to the people who throw shade at me for making money is if you're in a position to say no to making money, well, what's it like to have so much money that you can say no to more?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If I got your money, I'll burn mine. Like,
yeah. So I don't give a if somebody's got a problem with me monetizing this hobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked out for me. It's like a, it's turned into like a part-time job.
Yeah.
And one of these days it'll get taken away. Maybe YouTube will all of a sudden say no more people breaking the law on YouTube and they can take it away. Mm. And I've taken this, you know, and I have to credit my friend Carlo Palozza. Before I met Carlo, I wasn't doing YouTube. I was never showing my face. I was only doing pictures. Mm-hmm. And Carlo's like, you know, you can make money doing this.
Crazy.
Start showing your face, you know, start doing videos. And I took Carlo's advice and I'm never going to look back. Yeah. You know, it's I'm doing this anyways. If I wasn't making, I'm not doing this for the revenue. I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
I do it because it's a stress relief. It gets me out of the house. It gives me something to do. It's something I really enjoy. And I did it. I've only really I was doing this from 2012 to 2017 before I tried YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Before YouTube, I was licensing pictures. I was selling prints. Then when YouTube started, things picked up and changed a lot more. But so it's turned into like a part-time job, basically. It's not the type of thing I'm going to be able to ever retire from. But it's helped, and it's a good. I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, as a fan, we really appreciate it. It's pretty incredible. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to just like see something that's like around your area, and I don't know. It's just it's so cool. I'm a big fan, man. I've always liked to watch your videos, and so to be able to talk to you about it and hear the insides. It's just really cool. Yeah. I really appreciate all the things you do. It's always a lot of fun to watch your videos.
Thanks, man. It's so much fun to do. It's, you know, I don't know what I would do without it. You know, like I said, it's a stress relief. And the funny thing that people find this funny when I say this, because I'm in a stressful situation when you're, you know, going somewhere you're not supposed to go, mm-hmm. the potential of getting caught and potentially getting into trouble. But when I'm doing it, I am so relaxed, so stress-free, no anxiety, no problems. Every problem in my life when I'm exploring goes away.
Yeah.
But you're in one of the most stressful situations. Imagine like an abandoned power plant or, you know, something that's high risk, somewhere where I can get hurt, I can get into a lot of trouble. Some people would be terrified. To me, it's the most relaxing, enjoyable experience, and all my life stresses and problems go away when I'm exploring.
That's crazy.
You know?
So when you're taking prints and you're doing those pictures, have you ever been approached, like, do you have enough now that you think you could almost like do like a gallery or something like that? Because it makes me think, like, with all the weird art that's out there, something like what you're taking is something I'd be more interested in than half the other junk that I've seen.
You know what? I have thought about this so many times over the years, and I have shown work at art shows and photography shows. But I just feel like the time required to do something like that, to show my work, I would love to do it. And I've always wanted to do it, but it's just putting aside the time to do it right, to do it my way. Mm-hmm. And maybe one day, but right now my stuff just pretty much lives online, with the exception of people who buy my stuff or the odd. You know, I do things like the punk rock flea market,
yeah.
or the bazaar of the bazaar, mm-hmm. where you go and set up a booth and sell your stuff. So there's a lot of people out there that have my stuff on their walls, and I do sell the odd print here and there from my website. So, but yeah, I do. I would love to do that one day, but it would have to be done. I don't just want a room with my pictures on walls. I want to do it right.
Well, you can almost something. I'm full of useless ideas. So you could probably do something like that on Instagram, right? And call it something funny. You call it like ghosts and the homeless, right? And then just like just put your pictures on there, and you could put it whatever kind of frame you want on there, put them under there, and then kind of like do what our buddy at Milk Caps does is he throws it up. Like say, you know, once a month you throw up a print on there and you put like a little bidding war on it for every picture kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a good idea.
Yeah, his ideas don't always land.
No, so. No. I'm like Gretzky. I mean, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
You don't take, right?
So, do you have, going forward, like, is there anything you want to preview to the people that are listening? Like, what do you got coming up? What's something cool you're excited about going forward?
I just wrapped up my big project at the Rockcliffe Tavern, which, to me, sort of marked, like, a change for me in my video style. It was, like, to me, it was a legitimate documentary-style video that I put together with my own flair and my own style. And that went with a complete write-up in history, photo gallery, and a 40-minute video. And I would like to do more of that kind of stuff, but the problem is the secrecy of things, right? I can't just go to an abandoned power plant and then go find the owners and the former staff and interview them and then post it when I'm supposed to be being secretive about things and not name dropping and not saying what it is, unless the place has been demolished, which anyways, I am trying to sort of change my style a little bit in terms of my videos. My pictures will always be the same documentary style, write-ups and website galleries. In terms of projects, what's next? I mean, I still got like 50 locations from this year that I haven't posted yet. And that's why I'm able to post so often on my Facebook page and, you know, 2 YouTube videos a week, daily Facebook and Instagram posts.
Yep.
I got so much lined up that's to come. And it's just, you know, keep watching.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever need 2 bearded guys to make stupid comments while you make a video.
Yeah. You could, we'll be scared. We'll be instantly scared the moment we walk into a place that's like so-called haunted. I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here.
I might be blind. I might have to be blindfolded. But yeah.
Go ahead.
It's too bad the Preston Springs isn't still there, because I would totally have taken you guys there and scared the shit out of you.
Yeah. That story behind that place is so.
I still won't even walk on it. And the building's not there.
Yeah. There's so many people. So many people think that place was super haunted, and they the story is with that place is like that's why they couldn't build anymore is because accidents kept happening. They said because there was paranormal activity. Why?
Yeah.
But
yeah. Nothing happened to me when I was there. So
yeah, you walked through there and you were golden. So
yeah.
I wanted to take a rock. I wanted to go up and grab one of the rocks from the thing. My wife's like, don't you even touch that.
It could be bad, bad karma, man. So man, so we really appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We really like this was like a cool one because I was like, I kept saying to Ernie, I'm like, I really wanted to talk to this Dave guy because like your videos are so cool and I'm a big fan, and like for us to get to talk to somebody that we're a fan of is always so much fun. Mm-hmm. So thanks so much for your time today, man.
That's awesome, guys. Thanks so much. It's been awesome.
Yeah, you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
All right, peace.